Let's turn in our Bibles today to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. Exodus, chapter 19. Praise God. If you want to stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to talk to you this morning about the subject that God speaks. You say, well, I'd rather hear God than you. I'd rather hear God than me any day. But God does speak. And so, the background of this is God gives these commands to Israel here just before he was going to give 10 commandments audibly from heaven. Powerful words. But yeah, we're going to back up before that. And Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, let's notice that together. 19 and 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special people, a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your love, your kindness, your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us through your Son these last days. And I pray your blessings be upon the ministry of the Word of God today, Father. No one can do what you can do, but I believe that you can speak to the heart and the life of every person here today, God. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would just operate as you wish. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God speaks. People speak. You hear people speak every day. Some you wish they'd be quiet. Others you wish they'd speak more. But I want to tell you something, friend. When God speaks, he that has ears, let him open his ears and hear what the Lord has to say. Praise the Lord. So here God prepares Israel to hear him audibly speak 10 commandments. And when God speaks these 10 commandments, the mountains shake, and there was no question of anybody's mind that God wasn't talking. He was talking. Amen. But before that, God prepares the people to hear his commandments, with which he would rule Israel. And God did speak so that there could be no doubt that he spoke. And God has in these last days spoken by his Son. Hebrews chapter 1, God who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that Jesus is greater than the angels. Amen. But let's look at Exodus 19, which I read out of. God speaks. And this would be a people that were carried by God. Amen. And babies have to have mama to carry them. But people have to have God to carry them. You say, well, I'm strong enough. I'm more powerful than that. I can walk. Yeah, you can physically walk, but you can't walk spiritually unless God helps you. Amen. And so these would be a people that were carried by God, and God had carried this whole nation, Israel, away from the gods of Egypt, carried them away from the worship of false God that couldn't see or hear or smell or speak or walk. Man, it's always amazing to me. They had a God and they made it themselves with their own hands and set it up on a shelf and spoke to it and said, I'm talking to you, God. But there was nothing to talk to. So were the gods of the Egyptians. And Israel had been carried by God away from Egyptian slavery. and destroyed all its gods and showed through the plagues that God alone was God, the only true God there really was. And God carried Israel out of Egypt, judged the Pharaoh and all the Egyptians with the plagues and the death, the final being the death of the firstborn, until all Egypt would know that this God of Israel was really the true God. And so as Israel was going to leave Egypt, they had received instructions, each of them, to take a lamb and to kill the lamb and take some of the blood and put it on the door of the doorpost of their house. And the death angel would pass through the land at midnight. Different kind of one, but there would no doubt be a midnight cry. And it would be a cry of sorrow, as every household would have one dead in it. But on the doorpost where there was blood, there would be no judgment on that home, because the blood had been applied to that home. My friend, we can't do anything but bring that down to New Testament times. When you are saved by the blood of Jesus, amen, spiritually the blood of Christ is on the doorpost of your heart. God sees you through the perfect righteousness of His Son. You're not condemned. You're not under judgment. But you've been given life instead of death. Praise the Lord. So we know that Christ took the judgment for our sins on the cross. His blood atoned for every sin, paid for every sin, makes the sinner completely clean. Amen. I've seen unclean things in my life. You have too. Amen. That could go a long ways. But I was raised to take a shower every night. Okay. But in a spiritual sense, the blood of Christ makes every person clean before God. And clean, declared not guilty. That's what justified means in Scripture. If you're justified by the blood of Christ, it means you're declared not guilty. Are you guilty? Yes, but with Christ paid for that on the cross and declares you not guilty, because He paid for your sins. When God sees you through the righteousness of His Son, you're clean. You're forgiven. You're healed. You're accepted as a child of God. You're accepted as a citizen of a different world. Praise the Lord. A new heaven and a new earth someday. Amen. I know that we haven't, while we take our time here, or while we're down here in this time, we don't have everything that has been given unto us, but one day we will see Him face to face. We'll see Him as He is. Praise the Lord. We'll get to cry out and pray and fall at the feet of this Jesus that died to save us and loved us to that degree. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, knowing as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold received by the vain conduct of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Precious blood. The word precious there means rare, because you see, there is only one blood that would ever atone for sin. It had to be the Son of God, because He's the only one that never sinned. His blood was perfect. His blood will never lose its power. Praise God. It still reaches to the highest mountain, flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives us strength day by day. His blood will never, never lose its power. Sins are paid for, declared not guilty by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. These verses of Scripture, we move on. And we see here that God reminds the Israelites, the people here, He says, you have seen, verse 4, what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And He used this image of an eagle carrying its young on its back to teach them to fly. In Deuteronomy 32:11-12, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings and taking them up, carrying them on its wings. God reminds us of that. Just as He carried Israel out of Egypt, He carries us to heaven one day. And He carries us away from the bondage of sin. And Egypt is a type of the world. He carries us away from the sins of the world, so they will not have dominion over us, but we're children of God. Amen. And He even offers forgiveness when we fail. The loving compassion, protection, and strength and watchfulness of God is compared to the majestic eagle. I did a research paper when in high school when they was teaching you how to do that. And I did it on eagles. And the teacher said it was good, but I wasn't detailed enough. I just couldn't figure out enough things to say about an eagle. Man. So, anyway, I made, it was either a C, B, or A on it. It's probably a C. You're thinking that. But eagles are majestic birds. They're powerful birds. Their talons have a grip 6 times the strength of an average male. That's powerful. They can pick things up and haul them away. I don't know if they could pick you up and haul it. Some of us might. And haul us away. But I mean, they're a powerful animal. But you know, when God picks us up and carries us, he's more powerful than the human hand. He's able to carry us when we cannot walk on our own. My friend, when you're too weak and too frail and too weak spiritually, if you hadn't prayed for a month and you're weak spiritually, you say, God, I need your help. He is merciful to come to, for your repentance and to get you and to pick you up and to carry you where you need to be spiritually. Praise the Lord. And so Christ's sacrifice on the cross carries us out of Egypt, atop of the world, into fellowship and relationship with God. One day this same Jesus, which has been taken up from us, will so come in like manner as you have seen him go, and he will carry us with him to an eternal life, eternal heaven. Praise God. Not to eternal life. Eternal life begins when you're truly born again of God's Spirit. You receive the gift of eternal life. Amen. Even though you're still in a physical body, it'll be eternal one day. And so we see here that God spoke when he brought them out of Egypt. Also, there was the people that God spoke to. Let's look at that for just a moment. God had purpose for bringing Israel out of Egypt. You see, some people just don't think too much of missions work. I don't know how you couldn't. All of us, if you're saved, you're a product of missions work. But God had a purpose for Israel. They were supposed to be represent God to a pagan world. And they were going to Canaan's land. And I want to tell you, it wasn't a righteous land. It was a very pagan atmosphere. And God didn't deliver Israel so they could live apart from God, but so they could be God's people. And God didn't save you and I just so that we could go to heaven. God saved you and I so that people could see Christ in us. And you say, well, I know of a lot of Christian people that God, and there's surely people, God, people can't see Christ in them. Well, let me just remind you, you're not the judge. God is. And you just need God to work on you. Amen. Matter of fact, a lot of times when we're trying to figure out what's wrong with everybody else, we need to go look in the mirror and say, you know, God, you still got a great work to do on me too. But anyway, I didn't learn that in the behavioral sciences in college. Okay. But a people God spoke to, and out of this, God would develop a nation through whom the world would eventually, through whom he would eventually bring his son Jesus through to be the Savior of the world. God would do that. Amen. And this nation would be one nation that God would use to bring Messiah, Jesus, to make salvation and deliverance possible for every person. Amen. And I don't believe that heaven is, or God in heaven is satisfied with just a few people. Jesus died for the whole world. There are people, there are politicians, not politicians, God forbid, but there are, I didn't say that, did I? Anyway, but there are theologians who believe that Jesus only died for certain picked out people over time, and God knew from eternity the ones that would be saved and the ones that wouldn't be saved, and man doesn't have a choice in it. That's extreme Calvinism. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. Did Jesus just die for certain sinners? No, Jesus came into the world to save sinners such as I. Amen. He came. Amen. It's for the whole world. God demonstrated his own love toward us, toward a few. No, toward us. Demonstrates his own love toward us and loves us. So so that we could be saved. Amen. Not a few. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, so God spoke, or people God spoke to. And let's move on to number three. God speaks a conditional promise to his people. Do the promises of God have conditions? Yes. Amen. In verse 5 of our reading here, Exodus 19:5, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant," there's the conditions, obedience to his voice, "amen, keep his covenant," which would be eventually the Ten Commandments to them, on the condition of God's promise, they would have to learn to reject the lifestyle of the Canaanite people they were going to. You see, God didn't just lay down the Ten Commandments to make it hard on people. God does not lay down restrictions from sin so that people can't have any fun. God lays down restrictions upon us and to get freedom from sins that would destroy us if he wasn't there to put restrictions on us. God didn't say, "Thou shalt not," just because he wanted to rob you of some pleasure of life. God said, "Thou shalt not," because he wanted to keep you from stuff that would destroy you. You don't ever hear any testimonies coming out, "Well, I sure enjoyed the drunken brawl I got in last night, and I hate that he won, but I'm sure thankful for it." No. You don't hear people bragging about the consequences of sin. They may brag about the sin that they're doing, but they're not bragging about the consequences of it because it's no good. And God didn't lay restrictions upon us because he didn't like us or he wanted to rob us of something. God laid restrictions on us to keep sin from destroying you and I because he loves us. He doesn't want sin to destroy you. You are God's people. We're the sheep of his pasture. We're ones that follow him. He's the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And he shall appear one day, the chief shepherd shall appear. It's God. And God's promise, not only his conditions here, but his promise, verse 5, last part, "You shall be a special treasure to me above all peoples, for all the earth is mine." Amen. I promise you'd be a special treasure above all peoples. That doesn't make the Christian better than everybody else, or that we go around and say, "I'm better than you because I'm a Christian." No. It's just that we're the treasure of God because we're a people brought out of sin. God purchased us, bought us out of sin. Purchased us. That's what redemption means. Amen. And deliverance, their deliverance from Egypt would be a type of deliverance that would come to those in the bondage to sin. Years ago, I listened to a pastor from New Orleans, Louisiana. Last time I checked, it was in Louisiana. And he said, "I was preaching on a Sunday night. I came in and said there came a lady in that you could not miss what she was." Said this is many years ago. She said she had hot pants so hot that nobody could deny what she was. She wore street clothes because she was a prostitute. And she came in and she came toward the front and sat down and listened to the sermon. At the end of the sermon, she responded to the altar call. And many of the people were more interested in what she was wearing or not wearing than they were the altar call. That's sad. But she came, responded to the altar call, and wept her way strongly, an old-fashioned salvation and deliverance from sin. She left that place clean and pure by the blood of Christ. And you may say, "Well, what happened the next service?" Man, somebody came to the pastor before that and said, "If you're going to let that kind of thing in the church, we're leaving the church." He said they never did leave. He said those kind never leave anyway. But he said she came to the next service and she was dressed up in a decent dress. And she was not dressed in provocative clothing whatsoever, because you see, she had turned her back, truly born again, turned her back on that kind of lifestyle. She came into the church, began to learn, served God faithfully in the church, and after a while, she became the WM leader. That's after several years. That's what God can do to a person. That's why God can set a person free. There's nobody that's too sinful for God not to forgive and to restore and to renew. Amen. When God saves you, you don't become a better sinner. You don't become a saved sinner. You became a delivered sinner. Amen. You don't become a, you, when God saves a homosexual, you don't become a saved homosexual. When God sets you free, you become a child of God, born again of God's Spirit, changed. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. Aren't you glad God can save anybody, even me and you? Hallelujah. So this is the kind Jesus came for, me. I know we identify sins to certain degrees and stuff of that nature, but you know, sin is sin to God. God hates sin. God loves you. God loves the sinner. Or else there would be no salvation. And not only did God speak to the people, God speaks to the church today. I want to relate this to how it's spoken in the New Testament as well. Verse 5, 19 and 5, you shall be a special treasure to me above all peoples, for all the earth is mine. You shall be a me of kingdom of priests and a holy nation. 1 Peter 2, 9, cross-reference in the New Testament, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people who may proclaim that they came out of darkness into his marvelous light. I know the old King James says a peculiar people. Me and you both have been around a few of them. But it didn't mean peculiar in the way we mean it. But his own special people. Man. And so God tells the church in the New Testament, he says, you're a chosen generation. Let's see if we can be helped along this line. A chosen generation. God, why did you choose me for this generation? Do you understand, God, what's going on in this generation out there? I can assure you God understands things beyond you and I will ever understand. But God has chosen you and I to walk through this time. I mean, we're walking through an America that's not the America that we grew up in, or some of us didn't grow up in, if you're anyway, depending on your age. And God has chosen you and I to live through a country, a nation full of crime, where people will lose their temper and just shoot each other. Whether it be at schools, whether it be in a public place, whatever, it just seems to be somebody's dream to go out and just shoot and kill a bunch of innocent people, everybody that they can. You've heard the news. You know it happens. It has happened. Amen. You say, well, that was over there. And no, it's not over there. It's everywhere. It could happen here. Man, even in our own school system here, there's a boy last week that a week or two ago complained he was going to kill somebody at school. And they found him and arrested him. Hope he's on a different track now. But you see, this happens. A nation that intends to corrupt a whole generation of kids, telling them they don't know boy from girl, they don't know all this kind of stuff. I'm not going to go into detail about that. You know that God created man and woman, male and female. He created them. But God has chosen us to be a light to this world. And so we're a generation that God has chosen. He says, you can walk through this. You can go through this. I can keep you. I can hold you. I can walk you through this. You're going to make it. You're not going to be destroyed. I'm going to be with you. No matter what anybody comes up with, whatever sins people come up with, they're not too big or too hard for me. Because you see, God walks with you. God is with you. God is not apart from you. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I will go with you always, even to the end of the age. The Lord. And so God has chosen you to be a light in this world. And it's a dark world that we live in, but the light shines brighter regardless of how dark it gets. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. God doesn't need a Catholic priest to come for you to confess your sins to. God doesn't need any priest in this world to confess your sins to. Just there's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. He stands as our high priest, and as a believer priest, you and I can go present our sins to God and say, God, I've failed here. Would you please forgive me? And the one, the high priest who sits at the right hand of God, amen, can say you're forgiven. He can forgive you. Amen. And so you're a royal priesthood, Christ the mediator, the high priest. And it says in 1 Peter 2:9, you're a holy nation. And we know right off we're not a holy nation as far as the USA or a holy world, a whole globe. But you see, there's still a remnant of people, of holy people in this country. There's still a people that haven't fallen in and say, I'm just going to go and believe what everybody else believes, and that's Jesus stuff, I'm going to leave it alone. No, it's not just Jesus stuff, it's Jesus, the Son of God, holy, eternal, forever. Amen. And so, a holy nation, we're not a holy nation, but there is a remnant. Amen. Of people who still believe in the blood of Jesus, still believe that people begin to save, still believe that people can be delivered and set free. They don't have to conform to the things of this world. They don't have to become like everybody else, but they can just be a regular person that's been set free by the blood of Christ and go on and live their lives for Jesus. Let their light shine. Amen. His own special people means a purchased possession. Let us never forget what it took to become God's people. It didn't take my works or take yours. It took the cross. The most horrible, painful death that could ever be invented by carnal, sinful man. Crucifixion. It took the shedding of blood, the blood of the Son of God, as payment that mankind could never make. Is a huge debt that was impossible to ever be paid unless somebody paid it for us. If you can imagine yourself being in credit card debt, all you can do is pay the interest. And somebody comes along and says, I'll just pay all that for you, interest and everything. That's not likely to happen to you. But it did with sin. Jesus paid for it. And I've heard people say that I don't like preaching on the blood because it gets people to thinking about death and all that type of thing. And I don't like to think, sing or talk about the blood. We're not talking about just any blood here, my friend. We're talking about the blood of Jesus. And some don't like that preaching, but I want to tell you something, friend. In the natural, man, you and I, when our blood stops flowing, you know what happens? We die. When the heart quits pumping blood to the organs of our body to make them operate and function properly, then death is what happens. I know that wasn't a great science lesson, but that's the truth. But you know, if the blood of Christ isn't preached, then spiritual death follows, because we're alive because He shed His blood on the cross. Amen. If the blood of Christ isn't preached, then spiritual death happens. Amen. But in Romans 5 and 9 says, much more than having now been justified, declared not guilty by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Amen. We will not be a people under the wrath or the judgment of God, because Jesus was judged in our place on the cross. He took it all upon Himself. For whosoever will, for you, for me, for even me. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. God is so holy we could never approach Him in any other way. But when we're covered with the righteousness and the blood of Christ, we can come and we can talk to God. That's the reason you can pray, my friend, and know that God hears you. Because you're not far off. The blood has made you near. God, praise the Lord. And the blood of Christ keeps on cleansing as we walk in faith. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. That blood just keeps on purifying, just keeps on cleansing as we walk in the light. And we know we're a people covered by the blood of Christ. Amen.